And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And of course, especially Nouvelle-Écosse, Nova Scotia, Boutelier's Point, and holy cow, this is one of those weekends, folks. What can I tell you? It is packed, and exquisite music is coming your way. In the meantime, it is 3 o'clock. It's time for Arts Live and Local, because Juneteenth is coming up, and Juneteenth commemorates the fact that in Texas and some other states, the Emancipation Proclamation, which was supposed to have been put into effect in 1963, was not revealed to the slaves until 1865. On June 19th. So it is celebrated as a day of emancipation. Also, almost 100 years later, on June 21st, Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney disappeared. June 21st, 1964. So here's some from Sweet Honey in the Rock. Stay tuned. We are going up, up, up from here. Thanks, folks, for being here on Coast Community Radio.
Freedom means to be responsible.
Freedom is the ability to exercise your God-given right to be yourself anytime, any place, any space.
Freedom means to achieve your goals.
Freedom is free of labels and categories.
Freedom means to be able to do whatever you want to.
Not so long ago, in certain places in our country, especially in the South, Black and white peoples were not allowed to go to school together. We couldn't live on the same streets or eat in the same restaurants or go to the same hotels. And on the trains and buses, Blacks had to ride in the back and only white people could ride in the front. One day, some courageous Black people and some of their close white friends said, "This has to stop." They bought tickets on a bus trip, and when they got on the bus, they sat next to each other all over the bus. This was a hard bus ride, and they had many terrible problems, especially when they reached Alabama and Mississippi. But they kept pushing and won. And they wrote this song we're going to sing about that special freedom ride.
Freedom!
Freedom!
Give us freedom!
Freedom!
Freedom's coming, and it won't be long. Trip on a Greyhound bus.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
I got to fight segregation now. This we must.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
I got to fight segregation.
Freedom,
around the nation now.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
We got to keep on fighting.
Freedom,
all around the world.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
Well, I took a trip down to Alabama way.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
Oh, we met a lot of violence on Mother's Day.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
But I ain't scared of no violence.
Freedom, freedom.
I won't run from violence.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
To keep on a fight on my freedom,
freedom, freedom is coming and it won't be long.
Well, on to Mississippi with speed we go.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
All the blue-shirted policemen, they beat us at the door.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
Hey, but I ain't scared of no
policemen, no. Freedom, freedom,
freedom.
Coming and it won't be long.
They can wear blue shirts or white shirts or any other shirts. I don't care.
Freedom is coming and it won't be long.
Well, you
can hinder me here, you can hinder me there.
Freedom's coming and it won't be long.
But I go right down on my knees and pray.
Freedom's coming and it won't be long.
Yes, I will pray for freedom, yeah. I will sing for freedom, yeah.
Freedom's coming and it won't be long.
I keep a fighting for freedom, I keep a marching for freedom, yeah.
Freedom's coming and it won't be long.
Yeah, my freedom is coming
and it won't be long.
Oh, my freedom is coming
and it won't be long.
Yeah, and we're lucky because we have the freedom right here at Coast Community Radio to do all kinds of wonderful things for you and play all kinds of fantastic music as well. So I've got some guests here in the studio. They have quite the spirit, and they've come from a long way away, and they are Thea, Esco, and Juha. And hi, folks.
Terve.
Moikka.
Terveisiä Suomesta.
Hauska olla täällä tänään.
Suomessa kuulemma sataa lunta, että oli mukava, että tultiin tänne. Täällä on vähän paremmat kelit.
Täällä on kuulemma joita, jotka puhuu suomea. Onkohan se totta? Mitä luulette?
Onko täällä ketään, kuka ymmärtää meitä?
Onko täällä ketään, jotka puhui savvoa?
Okay, so you get the idea. And fortunately for all of us, these three people not only speak fluent Finnish, which is not surprising since that's where they're from, they also speak fluent, practically unaccented English, so that makes it easy for the rest of us. And they speak music. And that's why they're here this weekend. I also have in the studio Janet Bowler, who is the entertainment coordinator for the Scandinavia 2016 Scandinavian Festival, Midsummer Festival. And she'll tell us a little bit more about what else is going on. But these three folks are from the band Karuna from Finland. And they are Thea is on accordion, and actually, no wonder you look familiar. I'd forgotten. You're part of the Polka Chicks, and also Alotar. So I have seen you before. And they are also going to be playing, so Thea is playing the accordion, but what's interesting is we have Esko on the nickel harpa. We're going to hear some music, and then you'll be able to find out what the heck is a nickel harpa. If you saw it, you would be very impressed. It's a gorgeous instrument. But we're going to hear the music first. Juha plays the piano, so he's going to just sit here and comment on everything, right?
Yes.
Okay. And, okay, you can switch into English now. But first, let's switch into music. What are you going to play for us?
We're going to play you a waltz that I composed maybe 10 years ago when I was living in Sweden, and it's called Karuli Waltz.
Okay. Karuna from Finland, right here on Coast Community Radio.
Thank you.
That is lovely, lovely, lovely. Thank you. I had a very hard time. If I hadn't been at the, on the controls, I would have been up dancing. Because that is most of your music dance music? Or you might want to get those mics closer to you now that you're... That's okay. I have this. I have your... there we go.
I have a lot of dance music too, like shadises and waltzes and polska. But then we have some more rare... beats to like 5/8 and 11/8 mm-hmm. and these kind of, so we like to mix things, and we're not, as you would say, a very traditional group, but something close.
So welcome, first of all, welcome to Astoria and welcome to Coast Community Radio. This is wonderful. For you two, Esko and Juha, have you been here before?
No, I haven't. This is actually my first time in U.S.
In U.S.,
yeah.
Really? Oh, well, really welcome. You're a,
thank
you're
you
a
very
U.S.
much.
Virgin. What do you know? How do you like that? you're all KMUN virgins, but that's an astounding one. How about you, Esko?
I've been to U.S. Many times before, and to Astoria once as well. I played here with another group of mine called Frigg, which is a Scandinavian folk music group.
Right.
And I think we played here... I don't remember when it was. Mm-hmm. I think it's closer to 10 years ago mm-hmm. or something.
Well, how fabulous for us that you're all back. It's just wonderful. And again, thanks to Janet for pulling you in. And I'm wondering how long you've been playing together, since clearly you play with other folks. How long has this group?
I think we started around 2008, probably.
Must be something like that.
Yeah.
How do you find each other? Because you're not all from Helsinki, you mentioned.
We were living in Helsinki. We are not originally from the area.
Okay. So did you find each other in the city? I mean, is there a
You're not walking. You mean walking on the streets?
Right. You're walking around
you
with
have
an accordion.
A strange instrument. Would you like to play? My bad.
We all have been involved in the folk community for quite a long time, and it's actually a quite small bunch of people overall.
Oh,
so I think if you check at all the people involved in the folk scene, so more or less everybody knows everybody. So
interesting. Are there folks who come from way up north, or does everybody end up congregating in Helsinki if you want to play music professionally?
Well, if you want to study folk music and to be a professional folk musician, then most of us would go to the school at the Sibelius Academy, where Esko and I went, and we actually went to the same class.
Oh.
Well, started at the same year. So that's why people end up there. But then some people want to go back.
Right.
And then they, you know, live their life there and spread the folk music atmosphere.
Tell us the name again of the school.
Sibelius Academy.
Oh, Sibelius. Okay, we know that. That's
oh, I might have said that Sibelius Academy, which is yes. Easy to understand.
Yes, and I must say you speak very quickly, which is fine as long as you're in Finnish. I don't understand it anyway.
Oh, wow.
So
that's a new thing.
when I was 40 years ago, when I was first here, I was on a 4-party line, and my neighbors spoke only Finnish because that was... Lila Booth and her mother, who didn't speak English. So mm-hmm. I would pick up the party line, and they would be on. I would just sit there listening because it was rather entertaining. I had no idea what they were saying. I wasn't butting in. Why folk music? Do you play other kinds of music? And did you start when you were young? Oh, I'm just curious how you get to that, especially since you told me there aren't that many people doing it.
Well, if Esko wants to start, he has the longest
yeah.
experience, maybe.
I come from a village called Kaustinen, which is often considered as the home of folk music in Finland.
Oh.
So there's a lot of folk musicians over there, and I come from a family with a lot of musicians, so I'm actually a fourth generation
wow.
fiddler.
Okay.
And so
is this traditional Finnish music? Or
yeah, or yeah, Kaustinen has a really unique style of its own, especially what comes to fiddling music, violin music, is fiddle music, so especially on that one. So I really didn't have a choice. Well, of course I did, but you know, that was a very natural, obvious choice for me, and I've always enjoyed playing that music and grew up listening to it, so... So
how did you get to nickelharpa?
Well, when I was
what is a nickelharpa?
A nickelharpa, it's a it's a traditional Swedish folk instrument, or a national instrument of Sweden. And I've always liked Swedish folk music a lot. I used to listen to that loads when I was a teenager. And one of my favorite groups, Väsen, has a nyckelharpa in it. So that's one of the groups I listened to the most and wanted to get a nyckelharpa as well. So that's why I started to play it.
Can you, in 25 words, tell us what that is? What are the? It's not a violin, that's for sure, or a fiddle.
It's sort of a violin. It's it has a bit lower tuning. It's got 16 strings altogether, and 4 strings that are played, and then 12 sympathetic strings that give a lot of resonance for the instrument.
And what are all the buttons for?
Oh, the keys are actually for pressing the strings, so I don't actually touch the strings with my fingers at all.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't see your left hand.
Ah, yes.
I saw you bowing,
yes,
but I couldn't see the... okay.
Yeah, the bowing technique is pretty similar to, to violin.
Right, it's quite attractive. Okay, so that was Esko. And what about you, Juha? Because you're on piano, which is not necessarily... It can be played any kind of music. It's not necessarily folk.
I don't actually have a folk music background. I was playing more like jazz and rock music before. And but I got very interested in Finnish folk music. Also in I have been interested in many music cultures in the world, but especially I cannot remember when it was, but I was really like I felt like I have to play something like this. I have to compose some tunes with these influences. And
so you compose as well?
Yeah, I do that quite a lot, yes.
And you play with other groups or solo as well?
Yes, with other groups. I'm playing some more jazzy music with some other groups as well. But then I play quite a lot of folk music these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we're glad you do, because that's how you got here for your Virgin U.S. trip.
exactly. Thea,
how about you on the accordion, and what else? Is that your one?
Yeah, nowadays I sing on some ensembles.
Do you play the squeeze box too, or stick
yes,
with
I play. That's what I started with as a child, and like Esko said, that he comes from the folk music place in Finland, so I come from the second folk music place in Finland, which is called Haapavesi. And yeah, we have our own folk music festival, and that's how I ran into I think this was originally my parents' wish for me to play the accordion. They were dancing folk dances. I was dancing folk dances as well. And then I even tried to play a little classical music on accordion, but it never just fit me. So that's how I ended up here.
And do you all work full-time in music?
Yes.
You don't have to have day jobs. Okay, folks, listen up. The arts can make a living for you. So it's hard work. it's constant, but it's something you love to do, obviously. So
yeah, and it takes a lot of work and planning, and it doesn't come if you just sit and wait at home. Nothing's going to happen.
Right. No. I think that's true of most.
So we all do promotional work for our ensembles and all that kind of stuff too. So
well, we're delighted to have you here, and they will be playing at the Scandinavian festival, which is all happening at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds. And let's see. Actually, I bet Janet has a handle on all this, so I'm going to let her speak and tell us. Janet Bowler, who is the entertainment guru of the Scandinavian Festival this year. I think, didn't you do it last year as well?
Yeah, I've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And the festival actually started at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Wow.
So everything is open and we're waiting for everyone to come out. Wow. We encourage locals who haven't been out in a while. And absolutely, we especially welcome first-timers. We've got 16 different groups entertaining, and we start in tonight, and then we'll have Queen Coronation. A lot of people like the hex burning, throw away your bad luck for the year, and then we'll have a open dance. So all of that takes place tonight, and tomorrow is the big day. There'll be nonstop entertainment on 3 different stages, the exhibit hall, the arena, and the beer garden. In addition to that, we have Vikings outdoors, we have a festival parade, and we have the Midsummer Pole going up, and we have lots of food, and it'll be a lot of fun. And we're really happy this year that 3 groups are coming from Scandinavia. In addition to Karuna, we have Septon Trio from Sweden, and we have a Danish group, Lidum, Burger and Højrup. So we're going, it's very international, very authentic, and it'll be very fun.
And very high quality. These folks who come 6,000 miles are, we're not taking any chances on them. Janet does her homework and makes sure that these are quality groups. So you are, everybody who is anywhere around definitely should take advantage of this festival. It's only this weekend. Tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Is there a website that gives the schedule?
Yes, there is. A complete schedule for entertainers and everything else is on www.astoriascanfest.com. And at the top of the page, if you click under Activities and Events, you can find out information in the schedule.
Great. Astoria Scanfest, Fest.
com.
Okay, I highly recommend this, not to mention the food. I have my favorites, the Rooster, what's it called? The
Riesipurl.
Yeah, oh yeah, the fins are
the
here.
Fins are here.
Say it again.
Riesipurl.
Oops, sorry.
Riesipurl.
Ah, of course. Riesipurl.
Wow.
That's it.
And
I always, not only do I get it at the festival, but I always buy extra, take it home, put it in my refrigerator or freezer, and treat myself all year. Well, doesn't last that long, but it's rice pudding, Riesipurl. But it's got this fruit sauce on top of it that is to die for. Not to mention all the other wonderful Scandinavian foods, beautiful things, and music and dance. And again, this is all happening out at the fairground. There's plenty of parking there.
Right. There are no shuttles out to the fairground. You drive yourself out and park at the festival or at the fairgrounds. There'll be a people mover that will move you from the parking lot over to the arena.
Oh, that's good.
And there's handicap parking directly in front of the main
fairgrounds
buildings.
Okay, and there is a charge, but everything is very, very inexpensive. I mean, it's ridiculously inexpensive. I'm not going to go into the finances of how anybody pays these folks to come here, but we're just happy it's happening, and we're delighted for the music. So now, you pronounce the name of your band, please. This band?
Karuna.
Karuna. Okay. I didn't roll my R when I said it. It sounds like a Hindu name, Karuna, but Karuna. Okay, thank you so, so much for coming in. I look forward to hearing you again at the festival. We have their new album, which you'll hear more of. What's the name of the album?
It's Tuulispää.
Yeah.
It's something like whirlwind in English.
Oh, cool. Tuulispää.
Tuulispää, yes.
This is very good. I can say it like, and then it's gone in 3 seconds. That's it. I won't be able to repeat it. Thank you so much for coming again.
Thank you very much.
We had Thea Niku on the, not on the Niku Harper, though. That's interesting. On the accordion. And Esko Järvelä on the Niku Harpa. And Juha.
Yes.
Kuyanpa?
Yeah, great.
Close enough. Yes, on on voice, because he plays piano and harmonium, and we didn't let him bring it in here. So thanks so much. Folks,
thank you.
Don't miss it. The Scandinavian Midsummer Festival right here in Astoria at the fairgrounds. I have another dedication for you here, and that is because Father's Day is coming up on this Sunday. So let's have a listen and then stay tuned. We've got some very interesting, mysterious stories and coming up next, and then a little bit from the Astoria Music Festival as well. Thanks for being here, Coast Community Radio.
Dear Daddy, thank you for your kindness all these years. Many times I miss the chance to tell you, and recalling that now brings me close to tears. And Daddy, did you think that I'd become a decent man? Did it drive you mad when I refused to listen and find the wisdom of another plan? Daddy, just when I appear to finally see that the low road was not the road for us to travel, still sometimes I'd take it and you'd shake your head and come on after me. Daddy, remember as a child I fell and hit my head. For many years we often laughed about it, but I recall your look of worry as I bled. And Daddy, when you told me I was good, made me feel so proud. And I always knew you very deeply loved me, even though you never said the words out loud. Daddy, just when I appeared to finally see that the low road was not the road for us to travel, still sometimes I'd take it and you'd shake your head and come on after me. Daddy, you're near 80 and I'm now near 55. It's amazing how two people stay in motion as their memories write the history of their lives. I am certain, just like the sun will set when the day is done, I can say without hesitation, my father's love would outshine any sun. And Daddy, just when I appear to finally see that the low road was not the road for us to travel, still sometimes I'd take it and you'd shake your head and come on after me. Daddy.
And that is Andy Anderson, who sent me that album a while back, and I'm very glad to have an opportunity to play that on time because, well, he's got a whole album of music, but he's got one for mothers and one for fathers, and it's I just somehow miss the date. So here it is, Andy Anderson from 2011, Portland, Oregon. and I know nothing more about him. So, but I appreciate his music and his sending us the music. And I also appreciate our having our local artists around here. And one of them who has been here on Coast Community Radio, a few times.
A few.
Because she's so prolific and she's so good at what she does. And that would be Sydney Stevens. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me again.
Again. Well, you just keep putting it out. This is quite, I know it's taken you years to put together. I'll let you talk about it. Brand new book, Jailhouse Stories from Early Pacific County. Now, for those of us around here, we know that's directly across the river from Astoria. That's on the peninsula. And those of you who are far away, you better take a look at the map and find out what is this Pacific County and where is Oysterville? Because I remember when I first came, Oysterville, what a great name. And then I found out, yeah, it's the real thing, all right.
Great place.
Great place, too. Matt Winters, the editor of the Chinook Observer and publisher, is the wrote the foreword. And it is just packed full of real stories. So, Sydney, congratulations on this new book. It's a hefty book full of full tales. This is not just sketches in this book. So,
the book was based on a log book that was the Pacific County record number one, prison record number one, that our former late sheriff, John Didion, found in a closet in his office when he was still sheriff back probably 10 years ago. And he thought it was great stuff, and he took it to Matt Winters at the Observer, and he said, you know, somebody might want to do something with this. And Matt said, I know the person. So that was me. But the book is, I wish we had a way of seeing.
Here, I'll hold it up to the microphone.
Well, I'm not talking even about my book. I'm talking about the log book.
Yes.
And did I show it to you,
yes,
Carol?
Yes, you did. It's very impressive.
It is very impressive. Leather bound. It's 18 inches long by, 12 inches wide. Weighs 8.5 pounds. It's huge, and it's what the clerks use to log in prisoners in the county jail in all places. And in fact, those logbooks now are supposed to be in the Washington State Archives.
Whoops.
And when I went up there to do some research, they said, you have that? And I said, yes, I do. And they said, well, that's fine, but when you're through with it, please turn it in, because counties have been asked to turn those in. And what it is, talk about history, it's raw history, absolutely raw history, not PC at all. And you open that huge log book, and if you were a prisoner being logged in, your information would go on several lines all across the double page spread. So on the left hand side is your name, your date, your weight. Prisoner peculiarities, like has whiskers, or a scar on the right side of his cheek, or really not PC at all, Indian half-breed, or Chinese, dark complexion.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right-hand side, what you were arrested for, under whose authority you were arrested, what the outcome of that is, if you're going to trial and when, and what the outcome of the trial was, if that's what happened to you when you were released, how much fine you paid, and that's all.
So the beginning was filled in when someone was first booked, but they continued it
as it unfolded.
Okay,
and sometimes actually.
it was not continued very much. Like you knew that the person was going to trial on such and such a date, and then no one filled in after mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So it was great stuff, but there wasn't a lot of there.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent literally a couple of years researching old newspaper articles, magazine articles, old records, documents,
letters.
Where
did you find those things?
Libraries? Libraries, museums, like the Heritage Museum, Pacific County Historical Society. And then I happened to have, because my family is like that and has collected and had a lot of stuff. My grandfather was Justice of the Peace for a lot of years, and he happened to have several record books, probably we shouldn't have those either, from judges who kept their own notations that went back, and I could cross-reference. So I really got some incredible information.
So when you... did you choose particular characters and try to develop the story, or did you try everybody and then what you got most of?
No, it goes from 1886 to 1919.
Oh,
and
okay.
So there are 500 and some names, 590 names in it. Some of them were familiar to me already. There were four men that were jailed in when the county seat was in Oysterville, one of them disappeared, one went insane, and two were actually shot while they were in jail by a kind of a vigilante group that came from South Bend. We know about them, and so I wanted to tell their story. And that actually there are two chapters about them.
So their stories are like folklore now
in the peninsula. That's part of my interest, was in documenting it. And you know, the folklore is not far from what happened.
Right.
And another one was Lum Yao, who was a Chinese man, the only legally hanged person in Pacific County, and it was kind of a fluke that he got hanged in Pacific County. He had killed a man, and there was no question about that, in self-defense. Unfortunately, Lum Yao, so it's really a very interesting, a great story. And
yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about it, because it also hinges on, he was the only one who was legally hanged. And were there many Chinese people locked up?
Many Chinese, of course, working in Pacific County, in Astoria, in this area, and on our side of the river, mostly in the canneries and the cranberry bogs. And Lum Yao had done both. And he had a run-in with another Chinese, and when he was living in Bay Center, and he went into South Bend to talk to the chief of police, and the chief of police told him, "Don't come to me with your Chinaman troubles. You can cut off his head for all I care."
Oh.
And Lum Yao took that advice, and he tried to cut off this man's head, and Ging, the name of the man with whom he was arguing, had a scar on his neck to prove it. Mm-hmm. Lum took after him with an axe, and he served time for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably a very sad thing, because several years later, Oscar Bloom, who was a big man, not Chinese, Caucasian man, kind of had it in for Lum Yao. And from what I read, I would say that he was a kind of a bully.
Mm-hmm.
And so on this particular night, he knocked over Lum's chair where he was playing cards, and scattered his cards around, took his gold watch and $40 or $45 from his pockets. And so Lum followed the police chief's advice and to take care of it himself. He went home, he got his gun, he followed Bloom, and he shot him. And then he went home. Mm-hmm. And there was no arguing about it. He admitted it freely when the sheriff came. Well, of course, Oscar Bloom lived long enough to give a deathbed statement. And he said he didn't remember what had happened beforehand, but that Lum had shot him. So Lum does have to go to trial, and the jury argues long and loud. Interesting, 11 people were for acquittal, one for conviction, and that one man held out so strenuously that finally all of them agreed for conviction. There was a lot of hue and cry from the community that this Chinese man should not have been allowed to kill a white man. A lot of prejudice, and so that was obviously part of it. But interestingly, this was in 1901 that the trial was, and 1901, 1902, and the state law had changed, and I don't know exactly the date, but from that date on, all executions would take place in Walla Walla. Well, Lum had killed Oscar Bloom just a few days before that cutoff date. Mm-hmm. So the sheriff in Pacific County was responsible for the hanging, much to the sheriff's distress. And so he left. He left the cell door unlocked.
Yeah.
And Lum was encouraged to leave.
Yeah.
And he did escape.
But he came back.
But he came back.
But it sounded from what I read that Lemieux was a very popular person.
He was very popular.
Very well-liked person.
He was very well-liked.
Probably more than the Bloom guy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So it was.
I bet the Bloom guy had bullied many people.
I'm sure that's
so
true.
So were there many Chinese people locked up in there?
No. Interestingly, I think the Chinese kept to their own communities very much from research I did. They weren't troublesome.
Yeah.
And everything that's said about Lum Yao is that he was jolly and sociable. So I think he was out and about more, maybe. And got himself into that kind
caught
of trouble.
Into this, yeah.
But I want to say one thing about this book. You know, it's the log book, what I based my book. It's so interesting that the crimes are in waves. For a few years before Prohibition, many, many drunks and people with stills were arrested.
Mm.
I don't think there was more drinking then than there had been before, but suddenly it was the focus.
Right.
And when women started in the workplace, suddenly women were being arrested, but before they were in the public eye, they weren't being.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think there are lessons to be learned for us. I mean, I think about our jails now that are so crowded especially drug-related non-violent crimes.
Non-violent, non-victim.
You know, and what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, I think the anyway, I'm going to be talking more about this tomorrow.
I was just going to say, let's tell folks, where are you speaking? And it's happening tomorrow from 1 to 3 at the Oysterville store.
Go to Oysterville and turn left toward the ocean, and you will come to the Oysterville store in post office. Don't turn toward the bay. Turn west toward
the ocean. So if you turn to the right, you get to the Oysterville church.
Well, if you turn to you want to go past. You can do that. Go past the church and then
go
left.
Okay, yeah. Oysterville is at the top of the peninsula. So it's the Long Beach Peninsula. It's gorgeous up there, and it's good exploration territory as a day trip as well. Are you going to be reading and signing? Is that what's happening tomorrow?
Take that logbook and show people,
and
because I think it's extremely interesting. And yes, I will be signing books and
Greg Rogers. How fragile. Is that like?
I don't feel about it that you should wear your white cotton gloves to handle it, but I don't think I'll be encouraging people to handle it, but no. I will definitely show
Open it
to
up.
People.
Yeah. It's beautiful, actually.
It is beautiful with
amazed.
That old copper plate writing and thinking that they wrote with dip pens.
And it's still here all these years later. And the fact, the reason it's here is because someone stashed it in the back of a closet and no one ever got there until
this sheriff
was heading out and he took
a real
look.
Historic treasure.
Yeah.
Really.
So look in your closets, folks. You never know what you're going to find there. Sydney Stevens, my guest, with Jailhouse Stories from Early Pacific County. And there's just all kinds. And there's lots of photographs, too, including a photograph of the logbook, which is extremely attractive.
And a great index. People go immediately to the index to see if any of their relatives are listed.
Well, that's an interesting question. Are there still some folks in...
Yes, there are some familiar names, you know, so if you wonder about your ancestors.
Have you gotten any backlash from that?
No.
Oh, not yet.
Not yet.
The book is just coming out now. Okay.
Not yet.
That's a riot. Thank you so much for coming in, Sydney, and thanks for this most interesting book. And seriously, the photographs, which is what I did when I first got it, I just skimmed through. Who took those?
A lot of them are from the, the museums, the historical archives, and some are contemporary and were taken by various people. I even have some of my own in there.
Oh boy!
But there are a lot of. I think that there are 80 photographs in the book.
Fantastic! Yeah. And you're a wonderful historian as well as writer, and it's a real treat. But this book, I really like the feel of, and it's the size of a book instead of those big ones that I sometimes get. So this is
true.
Very readable. Thank you so much
Thanks for coming in, Carol.
And congratulations on the book.
Okay.
Sydney Stevens, tomorrow at the Oysterville store from 1 to 3 p.m. And probably the book will be available for sale in other places, too. Sydney's gone. Is there somewhere else people will be able to get this book?
At local bookstores and museum bookstores and ask for it. Stores can order it if they don't have it.
Right. And the museum.
If worse comes to worse, call me.
There you go. The Oysterville is a small place. You'll find her. Okay, thank you so much. My last guests are from the Astoria Music Festival, and I have some music from a couple of pieces. This is from our fabulous rock star, Sergei Antonov, on cello, and he will be playing tomorrow. The Astoria Music Festival opens tomorrow, runs for 2 weeks, and you can find their schedule online as well. But I'll have my guests tell you a little bit about what it takes to put on a festival. Thanks for being here, folks. you've been listening to, as I say, our rock star, and that is Sergei Antonov from his album Elegy, with pianist Ilya Kazantsev. Both of them are part of this fabulous festival that begins tomorrow. Actually, for them, it begins tonight, but that's in Portland, so we're going to let that one go and start right away. That's their practice for their concert here in Astoria. And, yeah, I'm going to get you right into the microphone when you talk. My guests are Lynn Hacklin, who, blessed be, stepped up to the plate and is working with Celia Tippett on the as a homestay, the homestay coordinator. This is a huge job for the festival. And Dwight Caswell, who lives here. Is that right? Do you live at the station these days?
I think so.
Dwight wears many hats, but he's the president of the board of the Astoria Music Festival, and so he's here to let us know all that's happening. I'm going to just tell you that tomorrow at 4 p.m. at the Liberty Theater, the Celebrity Soloists opening matinee with Sergei, Carrie Lewis, my favorite pianist, and Elizabeth Pitcairn on the violin. And then tomorrow evening at 7:30 is the Symphonic Saturday Festival Orchestra Gala. And both of those, okay, both of those are tomorrow. And then Sunday at 4 p.m. is the Symphonic Sunday Matinee with the Red Violin, Elizabeth Pitcairn's special, very special violin. So this weekend alone is worth getting yourself here to Astoria and to the Liberty Theater for three performances in one weekend. So welcome, Lynn and Dwight, of course.
Good to be
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Lynn, have you been on Coast Community Radio before?
No, I haven't.
Uh-huh. A radio virgin.
I told her not to admit that.
Well, congratulations. We're delighted to have you here. And thank you so much for taking on that job, because I know Celia's been doing it for years and was ready to pass that on. What does it take? Because we hear about all the fabulous music and people get to go and see it. But what does it take behind the scenes to make this happen so that these musicians have a place to stay? What do you have to do?
Well, we have approximately 60 hosts that vary from year to year, and we place up to 60, 70 orchestra members, plus all the soloists and the staff in these 50 to 60 homes each year.
That's fantastic.
And so the real heroes are the hosts.
So these are mostly in Astoria?
They're in Astoria. They're in Warrenton. We actually have a new host in Arch Cape.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. That's quite a ways away. Yes. So they'll be making sure that the artist gets here.
Yes, and in Seaside. So we have a lot of just wonderful hosts that will host year after year, and they're dependable and loyal and delightful.
And I'm thinking, Dwight, what do you think? Without this, we probably couldn't afford to put this festival on.
You know, the local hotels have been very good in providing free rooms or discounted rooms, but they could not possibly, and we not to mention the fact that the festival sells out every hotel in town. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this would be simply impossible financially to do without,
and logistically, as you're saying too. Yeah, fantastic.
And by then, I should also toss out that we're always looking for volunteers of all sorts and homestay hosts. So if anybody is interested, they should call the music festival office.
And the phone number is 503-325-9896. It's very easy to remember, 9896. And yeah, because there are new people coming in all the time. And there may be new needs at the same time. Lynn, why did you get involved? Have you lived here forever and coming to the festival?
Well,
I've been here since 2003, but I started hosting about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked with Yvonne when she was the host
Yvonne Edwards,
yes. And then I worked with Celia. And then 2 years ago, I took over as the primary host coordinator. In fact, we are looking for someone to take over for me starting next year, because it is a big job and it's nice to be able to pass it on. But it's nice too because the past host coordinators are always happy and willing to help the new host coordinator adapt
to
the job.
I like that. So it's a team.
Yeah,
it is a team effort. Kind of thing, so that
yes,
nobody's left on their own.
No,
so people
no.
should think about this and be mm-hmm. willing to step up
yes.
to the plate.
Yes, it's a challenge and it's fun. And it's also demanding, but it's satisfying. And you
meet a lot of people too.
Yeah,
yes.
I've served as a host myself, and
uh-huh.
met some really interesting people. I'm still in contact with some of the baritones that stayed with me.
Wow!
Kept asking for sopranos, but they kept sending baritones.
Very wise. And I'm thinking that when you do something like this, you have to start in. Early in advance, don't you?
Yes, we do. We try to contact our hosts in February to ask them to allot time for us in the coming festival season.
Okay.
And
so you did pretty well. Folks are pretty responsive around here.
They're really wonderful. Yeah. Really wonderful.
I think our area is trained the big V. Volunteerism runs the area. So so the schedule, what do you want to tell us about?
Well, let's see. The first thing I should tell you is one of the really great concerts, the Bach by Candlelight, is sold out.
Oh!
It's been sold out as of yesterday.
Oh, my.
And
now, where is that happening?
That's at the Grace Episcopal Church,
mm-hmm.
and has Sergei and Richard Zeller and
okay.
a stellar
so never
cast.
Mind because it's sold out.
It's sold out, and I must admit that yours truly, board president, was tardy in getting his ticket order in, and he will not be going.
Me
so
neither. I didn't
I
know
encourage
that.
People listening not to do what I did.
Yes, don't do
and
what I have done.
If you're interested in one of these concerts, you get a ticket.
Absolutely.
And I should say we have, you've described the ones that are coming up this weekend, but we have one which in our brochure is given somewhat short shrift. It's just a little corner, and it's going to be really interesting because something new has come up, and that is the Happy Hour with Sergei and Friends. It's a week from Saturday. It's on the 25th at 4 o'clock at the Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been added is one of his friends, namely Darren Orange. And he is going to be painting to Sergei playing Stravinsky.
Oh, how fabulous.
And so try yes. to imagine that. I think yes. it's going to be a great show.
Well, it is. And, you know, years and years ago, the music festival did that over at the Performing Arts Center. We had a painter going on, and it was so exciting because it's visually as well. I just looked at the clock. I don't understand how that happened, but we're out of time, and you just got here. So, folks, go to AstoriaMusicFestival.org.